found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to a Friday. As we move into the sports format here on 1700 KBGG, Trent Condon and myself with you for the next couple of hours. By the way, we're here every Monday through Friday at this time, talking sports with you from noon until 2. It's a Friday. We are jam-packed today. All of our football guests will be here at various times. We're going to start things off with, we're going to get Nick Athen because that's one of the talkers right off the bat, the ending of that game last night, the NFL game. Thank God we had that because the baseball was a stinker. Trent Condon's with me. Trent, we'll get back to the guest list in a second. I flipped it at 7-0, never saw another pitch. My Cubs viewing season came to an end at 7-0. What about you?
Yeah, same kind of way. Football certainly grabbed a stranglehold. And then
it was great.
Went out for a cocktail a little bit later after I put the baby to bed.
What is up with that, dude?
Well,
aren't you too old to be doing that?
Well, no, I had to meet somebody out last night, so I went over to our friends at Draft House 50.
Good spot.
And had a tall one and was able to watch both, but it was, at that point, 7-1. And then watched the end of the football game from there.
What a great game.
What a game.
You know what? And the calls at the end were right. I mean,
yes.
I have no problem with any single one of the calls. You?
They were the right calls.
No question.
Isn't that what we
asked? Off.
We asked that the calls be the same throughout the 60 minutes of football, throughout the 40 minutes of college basketball. Whatever it is, if a foul is a foul in the first half of basketball, it should be the same with a minute to go.
It's not, but it should be, yeah.
It should be.
Right.
And same thing in football. If a call would be called that way in the middle of the second quarter, then have it be the same way, they were the right calls.
Yeah.
I don't understand how anybody could be upset about the calls.
I'm with you. It was just a crazy finish. Maybe OPI in the first half wasn't called when you think about Cooper's first touchdown.
Yes, yeah.
But you know what? You see contact with both receivers. Unfortunately, the corner fell down and made it look worse. But I can understand at that point why Chiefs fans were a bit upset that there was no PI. The strip sack by Justin Houston early in the first half. There was that phantom defensive holding call that went against him. But at the end of the football game, I have no problems with the officiating. All right, back to what's coming up today. Nick Athen's going to be here in about 10 minutes. Then we're going to go to Tom Cakert, HawkeyeReport.com. Hawks on the road against Northwestern. Now, the more I look at Northwestern, Trent, the more I'm thinking Iowa can win this football game. Northwestern's wins so far have not been the shiniest. They really haven't beaten anybody, so we'll see about that. Tom Cakert will be here. Bama Bob is going to be here. In the 1 o'clock hour, Dave Sinekin will start it off because of the fact Dylan Montz is playing. I mean, Dylan's a young kid. He's got to get it. The register guys are already in Lubbock.
Yeah.
I mean, Petey gets up before the crack of dawn, catches that first flight out of town. Birchie's already there. Dylan is going to get there. He'll sashay in about lunch.
Lunchtime, huh? So he didn't take that 6 a.m. or down
apparently
to Dallas.
Apparently not. Or if he did, he got an awful connecting flight. So
right.
If he was out of here at 6 a.m., his travel agency needs a talking to if he's on the ground somewhere for 4 or 5 hours.
Well, we'll do the easy thing. We'll just blame Hines. That's always easy to do,
absolutely.
Right? Blame his boss.
So Dylan Montz, who's making his way to Lubbock, will join us about 1:15. Jason Sim will go inside the numbers. And then Paul Allen, brought to us by Mr. Executive. We'll preview the Vikings and the Ravens this week before Trent and I get in with our picks. All right, Northwestern, real quick. Hit on Northwestern. Trent, their wins haven't been the shiniest. Let's be honest with you.
No.
When they play teams with a pulse, it hasn't gone their way. Kind of like Nebraska. Remember one time they were on top of the Big Ten West with those back-to-back wins over Rutgers and Illinois? not so much lately.
So you're kind of swinging maybe Iowa's way.
Swinging a little Iowa way.
I'm tilting more the Wildcats way.
Are
as
you?
The week goes on.
This is a toss-up game.
It is. Point spread tells us
game.
That.
Mm-hmm.
And these two teams tell us that.
Yep.
As difficult as we've had getting a handle on this Iowa team. They're 4-2, and where a lot of people had them, blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't look like a standard Iowa team. They're not running the football very
That's
well.
That's true.
They're not stopping the run. And this is not the perfect team to do that. Remember, Northwestern slowed down Jonathan Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
19 carries for 82 yards. Slowed down Saquon Barkley until a late touchdown of 50-plus yards. He was like, 13 carries for 19 yards,
He had done nothing.
Nothing.
Until that one, it only takes one with him, but that, we saw that, right?
And we saw Tristan Wirfs get the start at right tackle a week ago before the bye against Illinois. This is different. That was a very young Illinois team. It was at home. Now you're on the road against a pretty talented front. I think there's some Hawkeye fans out there that think that's going to be, hey, they had the bye week. They got this thing figured out with the offensive line.
No, it's a coin flip game.
I don't think it's as simple as that. And I don't think this is a team you want to see as you're still a work in progress up front. Nate Stanley's going to have to win this game. He did it against Iowa State. Couldn't do it at Michigan State. Does he do it here? I think that's what it comes down to.
Well, I'm with you, Trent. Look, earlier in the week, I thought this was – I didn't like either of the locals this week. I'm starting to lean a little bit more to I can make a case for Iowa. I still think that 66-10 thing resonates in Lubbock.
Yes.
I think that's good. That's a tough spot. Look, if Iowa State wins this football game this week, my God.
Ranked in the top 25.
Yeah, here comes TCU next week. And look, at they're way better than anybody thought that they were going to be, at least at this point. All right, real quick. The Cubs fall last night 11-1. It was over, Trent. It was there with all the intrigue and the drama was out of that building after the top of the third inning. Quintana had absolutely nothing last night. But you know what? I don't think you could. I shouldn't say that. That's painted with a pretty broad brush. It'll be difficult to find a Cubs fan who is not in a positive mood, even though their team went out last night. Look at the 3-year run that you just had with the obviously last year and the getting to the NLCS in the 2 years you got knocked out. And we're talking about the Cubs, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
The lovable losers. There's expectations next year, but this year you're playing with house money, and what a run this team took you on.
It was a different kind of season. A lot of frustrations, I think. A lot of people waiting for them just to kick it into that extra gear. Though they played better in the second half after the break, it still just didn't have that same kind of feel.
They bludgeoned everybody in 16.
Yes, and I mean, just ran away with the division. The year before, you had three great teams in that division. It was a fun race.
Unbelievable.
Then you beat the Cardinals. I mean, it was just a euphoric. You knock off the Cardinals, and you're in the NLCS. This one feels different, but you're still so hopeful. I mean, the core that you have there, the pieces that you have that you can move and do some different things.
Well, Schwarber's at the top of that list as far as pieces you could move. He's got to be, because they need pitching, and there's not a lot of pitching free agents out there. So
does Jeremy Hellickson excite you?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. Back in the National League, you know, you could see that. They've got three guys next year. They've got three guys. They've got Quintana, they've got Lester, and they've got the professor. Arrieta's gone.
Yes.
John Lackey is gone. You'd think you have to do something in the back end of the bullpen. Carl Edwards was going to be your closer had Wade Davis decided to walk. Now, what do you do with his? Because he got a decision to make there coming up. It's going to be a fascinating offseason, Trent, because this team that's been so good, and they're still really good. I mean, they got there's four teams left. They were one of the four standing. They're going to retool this team. It's going to be different when they hit Arizona in the middle of February next year.
And if there's some retooling, maybe with a position player up the middle, either Addison Russell or Javi, if they can get a big return. Also wonder,
I think everything's on the table, with the exception of the two corner infielders.
Another veteran influence. A veteran like we talked about, Todd Frazier, that kind of guy that can come in his 30s, hasn't been on a winner, that can push through. If that's something they also look, yes, pitching, both starting rotation and bullpen is number one. But taking a look there, you got Hayward, you got Zobrist, you do have veterans, but maybe just a new veteran. Because I think they lost a lot with Dexter Fowler.
Well, they never replaced the leadoff spot in the batting order, Trent. They never did.
You saw Schwarber there for how long?
You saw a bunch of guys there. Schwarber started the year there. That didn't work out well. Going to be a fun off season for the Cubbies. The Cubbies, even though their season is over, they moved the needle here locally and will continue to do so during the hot stove season. We'll take a timeout. Nick Athan, we will dissect that. Look, we talked about it yesterday. The Raiders have to win. I think when you're handicapping football, you know, all the trends, everything that you've done up until this point, trying to determine who needs it more. Is it as simple as that? Steelers needed it more 2 weeks ago. They beat the Chiefs. Raiders needed it more last night. They beat the Chiefs. We'll come back. We'll talk about the Chiefs. Nick Athan will be here. Then Tom Kakert will take a time out before we get the Bama Bob as we complete the lunch hour, the noon hour here on 1700 KBGG. Trent and I are with you from noon until 2, and we'll be right back.
The Kansas City Chiefs play here. 1700 KBGG.
Hey, it's Trent Condon here from Jimmy B and TC. If you've been talking and thinking about improving your health, I have an idea for you. Do what I did. Call New Leaf Wellness. My weight had been increasing, my endurance during workouts was waning, and I was just feeling sluggish. New Leaf Wellness put together a program to help me lose weight, improve my energy, and they can do the same for you. Call New Leaf Wellness today at 515-650-1358 to schedule a free, no obligation consultation. That's 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. And tell them TC sent you.
Now, we'd never tell you what kind of truck to drive, but what kind of snowplow? Well, that's a different story. For more than 65 years, Fisher Plows have been getting the job done reliably and efficiently. From heavy-duty commercial plows, V-plows, breakthrough deep snow drifts, or a personal snowplow for your half-ton truck, you'll find the Fisher Plow that's right for your need at Schuling Hitch in Des Moines and Ames. It's time to upgrade your blade with a new Fisher Plow from Schuling Hitch. Visit SchulingHitch.com.
Hey, it's me, the donkey emoji.
Eee-aw.
I just want to say, if you're texting and driving, you're acting like a jack. Put down the phone, focus on the road, and make zero fatalities your goal in Iowa.
When you're hungry for great food, a tasty cocktail, or a good glass of wine, a friendly atmosphere and fast attentive service, remember Jesse's Embers at 3301 Ingersoll Avenue. Open Monday through Saturday for dinner and Monday through Friday for lunch beginning at 11 a.m. Jesse serves just about everything, including some of the best steaks you've ever tasted, cooked on an open grill, located right inside. The smells are fabulous, and Marty or Dina stop to check on your meal, and the bartenders, well, they're on your side. Jesse's Embers on Ingersoll, just west of 31st Street.
Kate here with Food Dudes Delivery. Are you tired of the same old delivery options? Food Dudes Delivery can solve that problem for you. We deliver for restaurants that don't do delivery. Order through us at fooddudesdelivery.com. Place your order for lunch today, dinner tonight, or your office party tomorrow at fooddudesdelivery.com.
Since 1993, Wolf Construction has been Des Moines' choice for residential and commercial roofing. From complete re-roofing to small leaks, call Wolf Construction at 225-8866 for your roofing needs. Call 225-8866 to set up your roofing consultation or online at wolfconstruction.net. That's wolfconstruction.net for Wolf Construction. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. wolfconstruction.net.
You ever wonder what you look like with a full, natural head of hair? Well, find out. Mr. Executive lets you try before you buy. Get real hair again and a lease with options. Mr. Executive offers a 90-day lease for just $200. And at the end of 90 days, if you decide to keep your new hair, the initial investment goes toward the purchase price. Look, don't spend any more money on potions and lotions that don't work. Check the latest in hair replacement online at mrexecutive.com or call 274-4049. Mr. Executive, 70th and University in Windsor Heights.
It's football season, and that means it is time to find your spot for all the big games. Trent Cotton here for Draft House 50 on Mills Civic Parkway in West Des Moines. 48 big screen TVs, all the games on college Saturdays, and the NFL on Sundays. Draft House 50 in West Des Moines. But it's not just about having all the great games on. You need more than that. You need great food. Draft House 50 has just that. Huge burgers. My favorite, the pizza burger. Ground beef, Italian sausage, mozzarella cheese, little marinara, and pepperoni. Big burgers, great sandwiches, pizza. You want to go with the lighter fare? They got salads and appetizers for you as well. And you can't forget about the beer. It's in the name, Draft House 50. Local beers on tap, microbrews, whatever you're in the mood for, make it Draft House 50 in West Des Moines. Your football headquarters, Draft House 50, 6240 Mill Civic Parkway in West Des Moines. I'll see you there.
Easter Seals Iowa provides support for children and adults with disabilities in our community. From the fun of Camp Sunnyside to employment and daily living skills, Easter Seals provides a wide range of support to promote independence.
We have so much fun out in the sun here at Camp Sunnyside.
Learn more at EasterSealsIA.org.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
All right, welcome back. to the Ken Miller Show. It's a Friday. Trent Connor, myself, with you until noon. Let's get right into it, shall we? Nick Athan is our Chiefs insider. You can follow him at that very Twitter handle on Twitter as we take a look back at the bizarre, crazy ending to that football game last night. Looked as though the Chiefs were going to win it. That didn't go their way. And all of a sudden, is the race on in the AFC West? Nick Athan, good to talk to you, Nick. What did that do to the AFC West overall picture last night with the Raiders pulling off that miraculous win at the end?
Well, I think, you know, I still think the Chiefs, you know, are probably still the best team in the division right now. They're just suffering from a lack of confidence and an ignorant defensive coordinator. So if they can overcome both those things, I think they'll be okay. The Broncos are about to start, what, three straight on the road. The Raiders haven't even played the toughest part of their schedule yet. They've had three straight home games. So, you know, I think both those teams are in for some more struggles. I mean, I wouldn't say that the Raiders are back. I mean, their defense got shredded by Kansas City last night. And, you know, I think offensively they have what it takes to be an elite offense, but they haven't shown the consistency this year. And for Kansas City, you know, the back-to-back losses in 4 days, it really boiled down to bad coaching and bad execution by the players.
So, Nick, as you go through and you look at this Chiefs squad, a lot of frustrating moments, but the defense, taking a step back, is that more an impact of maybe Eric Berry, his
Bob
loss?
Sutton?
Yeah.
Where do you point to right now defensively in the issues?
Well, you know, I didn't think they'd miss Eric Berry this much, and obviously they do. I mean, the Chiefs win that game last night and probably win against Pittsburgh if Eric Berry is their starting safety. I mean, I just think the inexperience back there, the lack of physicality by the Chiefs safety is just mind-boggling to me. It's just they're playing soft coverage. They play soft, and meaning that, you know, they're not attacking. They're not adjusting to the ball when it's in the air. You know, they're not trying to tackle or at least slow the receiver down or to slow the running back that gets in the secondary down. They're just trying to shoulder tackle. You know, they just got them basically, for a better lack of word, man up. And that really bothers me. And Bob Sutton is not motivating these guys. I mean, he's not creating good packages. You've got D Ford, who just I watched part of the game again. I rewatched a little bit last night. I watched D Ford in defense, and he's just dogging it. He could have had three or four sacks on Carr last night had he just kept moving forward and not stopped his passing. And you look at Justin Houston in pass coverage. I mean, it's just it's mind-boggling what he's doing. And he did such a good job of adjusting in a lot of the other wins. But the last two games, he's just digressed that same old Bob Sutton who refuses to budge and tries to fit a square peg in a round hole. And it's just not working.
Nick, it was difficult if you're a Chiefs fan to watch the end of that football game, but you know, maybe it's a little bit of a good feeling just to watch that game back, and in particular watch that Tyreek Hill touchdown pass from Alex Smith. God, I love watching speed and watching Tyreek Hill just separate himself from that corner. I felt bad for him. He was running his heart out. He was just getting left behind, and Alex Smith put the ball right where it needed to be. What a play.
Yeah, it was terrific. I mean, they've done that before this season, and actually, he could have had the same play with Marcus Robinson if he hit Marcus in stride. He would have scored a touchdown from the 1 yard line. It would have been a 99-yard touchdown because the corner was too far off. But you know, the problem with this team is not Alex Smith. I mean, this team's going to put up, you know, for the most part, 30 to 35 points a game, and you know, it should win you every game you play. But unfortunately, you know, they've got some weapons. I mean, they're starting to – they're not using Kareem Hunt kind of the way that they should. I mean, I don't understand what Andy's reluctance is there. But I think Tyreek Hill and what you've got, and I think Marcus Robinson – you put Marcus Robinson in mid-November, I think he's going to be that go-to receiver opposite Tyreek Hill. And then they're going to have two of the fastest wide receivers in the NFL on one side or the other, and that's going to create a lot of potential matchups. But Hill is special. I mean, he got banged up really good the other night, Sunday against Pittsburgh, and came back and had a brilliant game yesterday against the Raiders.
Kind of an oddball question, but as I was watching Harrison Butker knock a three home again, he's been very good.
He really has.
You know, shaky moments early on and has settled in. What's the latest on Santos, and is there an opportunity that Butker could be the guy going forward?
Oh, he is the guy going forward. Really? I mean, they already reached an injury settlement with Santos, and he's trying. His agent's been trying to get workouts for teams, but they've been a little gun shy. I mean, he had I think the issue is with his hip, and I think that's one of the reasons why the Chiefs cut him. You know, Buckner was a guy that they actually wanted, they considered drafting. And, you know, I think they might have even actually potentially made this move sooner. They were getting weary on Santos because his kickoffs were, you know, nearly 5 yards less than average this year. He had that injury in camp, but, you know, it's Buckner's time in Kansas City. I think he's going to be around for a long time. He's a terrific kicker.
Nick, last thing for you. When you think back to the end of that football game, do you have a problem with any of the calls? I thought they got every single one of them right. Now, if you're a Chiefs fan, I think you could probably have a problem with the non-OPI call early in the game on Cooper's first touchdown. That could have gone either way. And I thought Houston, the strip sack that I mean, I didn't see a flag on the field. I don't think Nat saw one on the field. It was defensive holding that disallowed that. I think I'd probably more problem with the Houston strip sack than any of the stuff at the end of the football game.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. That was, I mean, you know, of all the struggles that they had in the secondary, that definitely was not a penalty. And obviously the first touchdown, I mean, it's clear pass interference, or offensive pass interference. I mean, listen, that officiating crew is not one of the best in the NFL. I don't understand why they put their bottom third in primetime games. It makes no sense to me whatsoever. You know, they had the advantage of all those cameras. But, I mean, I maintain the end of the game, to be honest with you. There were just too many calls. I mean, yeah, you know, it's holding. But when a ball's, you know, a mile over the head of a receiver, I mean, come on, let's face it. It's got to be – there still has to be a catchable, you know, a spectrum in regards to some of these penalties, unless it's an absolutely blatant holding call. But – I mean, there were some holding calls on the Raiders offensive line that were just blatant. There were tackles being made. The Chiefs did it just as much. It wasn't a good officiating game, and I maintain at the end of the game, you know, let the players make the plays, and quite honestly, unless it's blatant, you know, put the hankies in your pocket and let the players decide it. I agree with you. They were probably the right calls, but I still thought it was excessive. But again, no excuse. The Chiefs should have won this football game. They had no business losing it. And they've got only themselves to blame. And until this team understands that you got to play every snap from quarter one to quarter four and make it important, this is what's going to happen. I think this team could be entering a real struggle period. This schedule coming up is not going to be easy.
Well, Monday night against the Broncos and then at the Cowboys before the Chiefs head to their bye. Nick, we'll talk to you a week from Monday, okay, as the Chiefs get set to host Denver on Monday Night Football. Thank you, Nick Athan.
Sounds good.
Good to
Thanks,
talk
guys.
To you.
Have me on. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you do the same.
Right.
Nick Athan joining us. Follow him on Twitter, at Chiefs Insider. Just to wrap up that game real quick, Trent, have you ever seen a game where Pylon Cam played as big of a role as it did? I mean, they always had Pylon Cam. It was a big player last night.
Yeah, and Pylon Cam, honestly, it's a cool idea.
It's great.
But it usually sucks.
No, but last night was really
good. But it
good.
Was, yeah.
Even early in the football
yes,
game. And
yeah.
At the end of the football game, Pylon Cam had a huge night.
What's going on with Amari Cooper? I mean,
Trent,
I know
he drops more balls than any receiver, any number one receiver
yes.
I've ever seen.
Well, and he drops more than anybody this year in the NFL.
Yep.
He's always had that problem, even back at Alabama.
See, I don't remember it this much, though.
No, not this much, but it was always something that kind of went with the package, but it's gone to another level. And then you see, but he's been terrible this year until
yes.
last night.
But he had, there was a play at some point in the game, another long pass in
yes.
the second half. He went up. He had two DBs on him, but he had both hands on the
there
football.
There wasn't contact with
no.
him. He went up there. They both missed him, basically.
Yep.
He dropped. You're talking about, I'm glad I'm not a Raiders fan.
Oh,
man.
I know.
He would send me to an early grade.
Carr hit him right in the hands early in the game on a little slant right coming across the field that he hit him in stride. Balls drop.
Yeah.
Seen it a ton. Glad he does as a Broncos fan. Let's switch from the NFL game to the college game. We'll get our last look at Iowa. Dylan Montz coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Dylan's travel. He's on an airplane, so we won't get him as he makes his way to Lubbock until 1:15-ish. Right now, Tom Cakerd, he covers Iowa for HawkeyeReport.com. He'll be in Northwestern tomorrow, and Tom joins us. Tom, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. How are you, Tom Cakerd?
Doing well. How are you guys?
Doing fine. This is a pretty important game for for both teams, quite honestly, as they try to sort themselves out in the Big Ten West. Could this be the Nate Stanley coming out party tomorrow. Might we see Nate Stanley off that bye week, six games in to his career as Iowa starter? Might he be able to do some damage through the air and down the field on this Northwestern secondary?
It sets up that way. I mean, Northwestern's given up almost 250 a game in the air, and they're down to, gosh, I think it's probably their fourth and fifth cornerbacks right now, because the top three guys have all gotten hurt this year. So they're a little limited. They've got good safeties, but they've given up a lot of yards and a lot of plays, and they're pretty stout on defense. I just kind of wonder if I was going to come out and try to throw it to open up the run game this week, because Northwestern is really good against the run.
Well, Northwestern also has some weapons on the other side of the football. Clayton Thorson's put together a nice season. Of course, Jackson, their running back. Offensive line, though, has been a concern for them. Look like maybe they're starting to round into form and figure some things up front for the Wildcats?
It did last week against Maryland, where Jackson's also been banged up, and talking to some of their one of their big guys who covers them for Rivals, he said that Jackson was hurt kind of early in the year, and his numbers have been down. And then last week he busts out for 171 against Maryland. And that offensive line did open up some gigantic holes for him to run through. So maybe they're coming into shape. But they've given up, I think it's 20 sacks this year. So Iowa may be able to get more pressure on Thorson. He does spread it around, though. They've got, I think, four or five receivers that have at least 20 catches this year. So he's not dominant to just one guy like last year when they had Austin Carr and he was catching, you know, 10 passes a game. They're spreading it around more this year.
Yeah, he caught 90 balls, Tom. You're 100% right, and you're right. I think the leading receiver for Northwestern has like low 20s, and there's a bunch of them right around that number. So Thorson is relying on more guys. Well, secondary for Iowa going to be tested, and if that's the case, Amani Hooker's going to see, I would think, the majority of playing time at that spot, don't you?
I would hope so, because, you know, Miles Taylor's been given every opportunity and he has not played up to the level that they need him to play at. And with Snyder back, I really liked what I saw from the tandem of Snyder and Hooker back there more than I've liked anything else this year from the safety position. So I would suspect that Hooker's going to start and he's going to play the entire game there unless he were to get injured.
Well, you know, this team has been difficult to get a read on. With the week off, we heard a couple weeks ago, Brian Ferentz, when he talked, you know, he was a pretty big critic of himself. Is that just the way that he is built? Was he playing up to the crowd? Brian's been known to do a little bit of that. Your takeaway after talking to Brian Ferentz a couple weeks back?
Knowing Brian over the years, that's just Brian. There's one thing about him. He's going to be pretty honest. And if he feels like he didn't do a good enough job and everything, then he's going to hold himself accountable in a public way. If he doesn't feel like it's a fair criticism, he'll bark back at you about it. But he's the one that kind of just threw it out there and said, look, my game plan against Michigan State in the run game was bad. And he held himself accountable for it. So, you know, I don't think he was grandstanding in any way or anything like that. I just think that's just Brian. That's the Brian I've known since he was at the University of Iowa as a player. He's just really, really honest about things.
Is James Daniels hurt? I mean, we know that he missed the first game of the year, Tom. We've seen him. We've seen a different James Daniels, and not for the better. I think he was probably better in his last couple of years than he has been so far this year. Is that injury that kept him out of the first game, is it lingering maybe a little more than he's letting on?
Maybe. I think there might be something to that. He's always just kind of said, oh, I'm fine, I'll be out there playing. But there's been a couple times where he's limped around a little bit after plays, and you know, that's been noticeable to me at least. Not a big deal, but it's just, you know, because sometimes you can just kind of fall funny and feel like you need to limp a little bit after a play. But I just don't know that he's moving as fluidly as he has in the past, where he could get out there and make some blocks on the edge a little bit more. And he hasn't been able to do that this year. And it's just,
you know, they're just kind of trying to figure that offensive line out, and hopefully the week off helped him get healthy and helped them get some continuity up front with the two young tackles and getting Welsh back to guard. And that's the key to the second half of the season, in my opinion, is the offensive line getting some continuity and been able to run the ball. Because if they're at 138 a game and we're in week 11, that means Iowa's probably not probably going to be struggling to get to a bowl game.
Little hoops with you, Tom, before we let you run. And media day for the squad on Monday. Fran, the hyperbole was strong with Steph Curry being compared to young Bohannon. But, you know, you asked the question, I believe, Tom, about FBI getting involved and Fran turning in cheaters. Did you think that something that big and turn into a national story was going to come out with Fran talking?
I didn't. I didn't see that one coming. I knew that Fran had something to say about it, just having talked to him in the past about things just casually, that I know it's been a source of frustration for him. And I knew he would have some strong opinions. I had no idea that he would go down the road of I've turned cheaters in. And because that college basketball coaches just have never been willing to admit that other than Bruce Pearl. You know, they just haven't. And so it's pretty bold that he's put that out there, and good for him. I mean, I think there's also some cover there now that the FBI is involved in it, that you can say, you know what, I've turned him in too. But he's just basically using that to explain why the NCAA is kind of toothless in terms of what they can do in terms of kind of figuring out what happened in these situations.
Yeah, well done on that one, Tom Kuykert, Hawkeye Report. Last thing, Tom, back to football. Ryan Field holds about, I think, what, 48,000? It won't be sold out. But what, how many Hawkeye fans will be in the building, do you think, tomorrow?
Oh, I'd bet there's probably 10,000 to 15,000 Iowa fans. There usually are for every game that I've been up there for over the years. It's just a lot of Iowa fans make that trip. It's a nice weekend in Chicago. You got a lot of alumni up in that area. So I know a lot of people that are coming over or people that are in Chicago that are going to the game on Saturday.
Great stuff, Tom. Thank you. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Good to talk to you. Jason Simmel just got text from Jason Simmel. Tom Kuykert, HawkeyeReport.com. As we get our last look at the Hawks, last look at the Cyclones coming up at about 1:15 or so.
Looking forward to it. Pivotable, not just for Iowa and Iowa State, but also for Texas Tech and Northwestern.
There's no question.
I mean, the direction of these four teams really is going to be determined by 2:15, 2:20 tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Trent. It's huge for both, for all four of the schools in the two games that we're paying attention to. We'll take a timeout. We'll take a look around college football with Bama Ba. Tennessee's at home as a 36-point dog.
And it doesn't feel like
Stadium.
Enough. Doesn't feel like enough.
If you had now, are you playing that game in our picks?
No.
Neither am I. If you'd had to, would you? What would you do? I'd take the points, damn it.
I would, but then I thought about it this way. If they just had a number on Tennessee points.
Yeah, that's a good way. 10?
10. I'd take the under. 7.5. I'd think about it more.
So about 45 is where Alabama would have to. Yeah, that's an interesting
problem. It's the third Saturday in October. This is a game I grew up loving.
Yes.
At 36.
It's crazy.
36.
I know. And then the other thing, too. I mean, Kansas is on national TV tomorrow night. I think they're about 36 points.
They are.
Bonkers. Bama
Bob. Speaking of picks, that one is in my picks.
Very nice. You had a good week last week, Trent Conn. We'll see if you can keep it together. You were 4-1 last week. Those picks are coming up at about 1:45. Bama Bob coming up next. It's the Ken Miller Show, 1700 KBGG.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. My employees and I would like to thank you for making MyPillow possible. Years ago, when I invented MyPillow, I thought I was the only one out there with problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I'd flip-flop all night, or wake up with a sore neck or headache. So that's why I invented MyPillow. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill to your exact individual needs to help you get to sleep faster and stay there longer, to get the quality sleep you need. I back it with my 10-year warranty and my 60-day money-back guarantee. And now to thank you, I'm bringing back my best offer ever. Buy one of my MyPillows and get another one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-951-4694 and use promo code Des Moines to buy a MyPillow and get another absolutely free. That's MyPillow.com or call 800-951-4694 and use promo code Des Moines.
The time to save is now at JCPenney. Get an additional 60% off clearance prices already reduced by 50 to 70%. Save on thousands of select items throughout the store, like apparel for you and your family. Plus, stack on the savings and get an extra 20% off with your JCPenney credit card and coupon. Hurry, end soon. JCPenney. Prices valid for 10/25 in-store only. Clearance selections vary by store while supplies last. Savings off regular and original prices. Intermediate markdowns may have been taken. Coupon valid 10/20 to 10/22. Subject to credit approval. Some exclusions apply. See store or jcp.com for details.
Join us for an evening of celebration, reflection, and commitment at Wildwood Hills Ranch Wild About the Child Banquet. Hear inspiring stories how Wildwood Hills Ranch has impacted the lives of Iowa's youth from its beginning and learn how you can be a part of its amazing history. The event is at the Holiday Inn, Jordan Creek, on Sunday, October the 29th from 6 until 8. Event info and registration can be found on their website, wildwoodhillsranch.org.
Black and Cardinal Divide is the first website dedicated to the Cy-Hawk rivalry. We cover both the Hawkeyes and the Cyclones.
This is Cody, and I cover Iowa State.
And I'm Derek, his younger brother, who covers the Hawkeyes.
We'd like to encourage you to jump over to bcdivide.com. Tune in Wednesdays and Thursday nights as we will talk all things Cyclones and Hawkeyes.
Jump over to bcdivide.com. Join us for daily banter and our social media pages at bcdivide. As brothers and fans of different teams, we grew up with a heated Cy-Hawk rivalry within our own family.
Join us at bcdivide.com to embrace the rivalry.
Are you sick of the same old tired lunches, leftovers, bad drive-through options? Food Dudes Delivery has your answer. Food Dudes delivers for restaurants that don't offer delivery all across the Des Moines metro. Order online at fooddudesdelivery.com and get out of the lunch rut today with Food Dudes Delivery. Place your order for lunch today, dinner tonight, or your office tomorrow at fooddudesdelivery.com. That's fooddudesdelivery.com.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down, or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness. Give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
CAP is back. Flag Guy here. We're proud to sponsor the foremost expert on all things Chicago, Dave Kaplan, weekly here on the Ken Miller Show. While CAP has the behind the scenes on your favorite Chicago sports team, we have the flags, Bears, Bulls, Blackhawks, Sox, Cubs. We've got them all. Northwestern, too. I guess they kind of count. Check out our Chicago flags and a whole lot more online at heartlandflags.com. And peek the retail store, too. 3719 Southwest 9th, Des Moines.
right, welcome back. It's the Ken Miller Show, 1700 KBGG. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, we will take a look at the Packers. We'll take a look at Iowa State. We'll take a look at the betting numbers with Jason Symbol and the Minnesota Vikings with Paul Allen. Paul Allen brought to us weekly by Mr. Executive. Let's get the Bama Bob, shall we, as we go around college football. Bama, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. How's things?
Doing great, Kenny. How are you?
Doing fine. Bama, I want to start with you. I don't want to spend a ton of time on the Alabama-Tennessee game, but I do want to bring up the, you know, the 36-point spread. Tennessee is getting 36 points in their home stadium, Bama. That cannot be going over well amongst the Volunteer faithful.
Well, Ken, it's actually in Tuscaloosa, but...
Oh, I thought it was in Neal. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. It's but you know what? If it were in their home stadium, it'd probably be 28. You know, so it's the biggest spread in the history of this series, and it started out. Here's the scary thing, I guess, if you're Tennessee, if you really pay attention to these things. It started out about 32, and it's moved to 36. So that tells you where all the money's going.
Yeah.
On that game, which is ridiculous. You know, Saban came out, ran it again this week, you know, against the media. Well, why, you know, this is a rivalry. Why can't they come in and play their best game against, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, listen, it's not going to be competitive. It really hasn't been competitive since Lane Kiffin, the game that I heard, you know, Trent saying he was at, the 14-12, you know, Terrence Cody game 10 years ago. And the gap in these two once proud, once still proud programs is just crazy. So I don't expect it to be close. I don't expect it to be competitive. CBS has got it. That's just better than TCU Kansas, but, you know, I don't know how much more.
Yeah.
How did this become the third Saturday in October? How did it become? It's not like they're close. I think the campuses are over 300 miles apart. Is it just because it was two good programs going head-to-head year after year?
Yeah, it kind of goes back to the old years before divisions and everything else. And this was the, you know, General Nealon versus Bear Bryant kind of, you know, rivalry. And it was just for years, it was just, you know, almost it was more competitive than Alabama-Auburn because Auburn, you know, couldn't compete with them for the most part. It was more competitive than Alabama-Georgia. You know, Florida before they became a power, these were kind of the two teams in the conference, you know, along with Arkansas, believe it or not, way back when. But they always played it on the third Saturday of October. You know, starting about 20-plus years ago, that date started getting moved back a little bit because of TV coverages and bye weeks and all that kind of thing. But, I mean, for years, this was – and then Tennessee kind of got a foothold of the series, you know, after Bryant left and had a, you know, under the Peyton, you know, when Peyton Manning was there and, you know, had a run in it. And now, of course, with Saban, you know, they haven't been, I think it's 10 in a row, 11 in a row, whatever, and very few of them even close. So it's, it goes back, it has deep Southern roots. But here, you know, kids in high school today won't remember it. You have to be my age pretty much to remember it, and then even a bit older to go back to the Nealon Bryant era.
Bama, let's get to some of the other games on tap. Look, I'll be honest with you. This USC-Notre Dame game has my complete attention. I'm looking forward to this one probably more so than any other game tomorrow. Haven't seen Notre Dame play since the Georgia game. For whatever reason, Notre Dame hasn't appeared on my radar, but they are tomorrow. Darnold's offensive line is really let him down. I think he's a better quarterback than he's shown, and I think a lot of it's predicated on that poor line play in front of him. Notre Dame, look, their only loss is to Georgia. We know where Georgia sits in the pantheon of college football right now. This could be a terrific game.
Well, it's got a chance, Ken, and you know, like we've always said, whether you're a fan of a big school or not, when big team, you always like the underdog, okay? You like the TCUs, you like the upstarts, if you will. You know, you like the Washington States. Those are good stories, and you root for teams like that. But I think as a whole, just like in any pro sport, you know, when the Celtics and Lakers are both really good, the NBA is better. And when Notre Dame and USC are really good, the sport is better for it, and you get a game like you're going to get tomorrow night. It's essentially an elimination game, I think, because both teams have one loss. I think it's more elimination for USC. Notre Dame, we talked about it last week, that schedule they have, if they were to drop a close one here and somehow win out, which I don't think they would be able to do necessarily, but go 10-2, close loss to USC, close loss to Georgia, depending on how those teams fare. They're in the conversation but would need some help. But I'm with you. I'm looking forward to Penn State and Michigan just because I love the whiteout and the night game up in Happy Valley. That's my bucket list stadium. My next one I'd like to get to is Penn State. But in terms of competitiveness, I'm with you. This one's got it all. Notre Dame Stadium at night, you really can't get much better than that, and especially when you bring in a big-time opponent that's playing really well and got an NFL quarterback under center in Sam Darnold. So I saw the spreads about 3.5 last time I looked, and that would probably be that's probably about right because I think these two teams are pretty evenly matched.
ABC Michigan Penn State, NBC USC Notre Dame, and Fox's night game.
Jesus.
TCU Kansas. What is going on with
who made that call? Honest to God,
no idea. Well, how does it happen?
That's probably going to be one of life's great mysteries that will go unanswered. You look at what Fox has tomorrow, Ken, and it's really not much. I probably would have put Oklahoma, Kansas State. Mm-hmm. But maybe they figure, listen, going up against those other two games,
maybe
nobody's going to watch anyway. So let's put the highest ranked
Oklahoma
team and maybe try to get some of the Dallas market. I don't know what they're thinking. But this game is not going to be if form holds, it's not going to be competitive. TCU's a 39-point favorite. And it's, think about that for a minute. TCU's a 39-point favorite over Kansas, and Alabama's 36 over Tennessee. That's just crazy when you think of only 3-point difference there. But I'm with you. This game has just no appeal to me. Unless we get to, I see something crawl on the screen that with 8 minutes left, Kansas is up by 4. Only time I'm going to flip this game over, and I don't expect that to happen.
Speaking of TV, Bama, Urban Meyer comes out this week and talking about night games. He was the one that wanted the Big Ten to have more night games, but it looks like Iowa Ohio State might be a night game. He doesn't seem very pleased about that. It'll be the fourth night game for them this season on the road. He also doesn't like playing early kickoffs. He has also derided noon kickoffs, Eastern, 11 o'clock for us here in the Central Time Zone. Urban Meyer, boy, he annoys the crap out of me.
Yeah, and you're not the only one. I've never been an Urban. He's an excellent coach, great recruiter, knows what he's doing. He's been a winner everywhere he's gone. You got to give it to him. Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, now Ohio State. But he annoys the crap out of a lot of people. And I lost a lot of respect for Urban when he, in my opinion, he basically stole about $3.5 million from Florida for, quitting and then coming back that last season after Tebow. And I think they went 6-6. You could tell his heart wasn't in it. Then he retired. Oh, until the Ohio State job came open. Then he unretired. Mm-hmm. He ran a loose ship down at Florida. There's no question about it. All the incidents that went on down there. And now you're right. Now he's whining. When would you like to play, Urban? You don't like morning games. You don't like night games. I'm sorry, but you're not in the SEC, so the 2:30 CBS not available to you. I don't know. Sometimes I don't know. We saw from Chris Peterson. I'd be interested to see if anybody goes after Urban Meyer the way they went after Chris Peterson. I doubt it happens, but I don't know. Same situation.
Great point.
I don't understand the whining, and I've heard, listen, I don't want to bring anything back to Nick Saban, but people have asked him this before, and his basic stock answer is, we'll play when they tell us to play, basically. They're used to, they don't get many early games, but, unless it's, Mercer or somebody like that, because they're either going to be in prime time or they're going to be the CBS game, so. They don't deal with a lot of early morning kickoffs, 11 a.m., but, I don't know. I don't understand the motivation, but I'm with you. I'm not a big Urban Meyer fan.
By the way, Alabama will host Mercer on November 18th.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Unbelievable. Bam, let's go back to that Big 12 tilt that we kind of tap danced around, K-State, Oklahoma. K-State's they've had some success against Oklahoma. I think they've won 2 out of the last 5 games. Oklahoma absolutely has to win this football game. They have no margin for error. with the TCU showdown looming, Oklahoma State showdown looming, the Big 12's title hopes hanging by, or playoff hopes rather, hanging by a thread possibly. But boy, we've seen Bill Snyder win these kind of games before. Now Jesse Ertz, his quarterback, is out. Do you give K-State a chance in this game tomorrow?
I can't do it, Ken. I just, you know, we thought the same thing, you know, was it against TCU or you know, and of course that game was crazy, delayed by weather for so long or whatever it was. I mean, I just, without Ertz, again, I go back to the Vanderbilt game. I mean, he was all they had against Vanderbilt. And Oklahoma, you would think, is a little better on defense and everywhere else. And they certainly have the best player on the field tomorrow. You never discount Bill Snyder in a home game. I just don't think he has the horses unless Oklahoma helps him a lot. And I mean, you know, multiple turnovers, maybe a pick six, a block punt, short field, whatever, you know, all that type of thing. I think K-State's going to need some quick strike scoring help in order to kind of stay up with Oklahoma. Now their defense is not too bad, but you know, it's like everywhere else. If you can't put points on the board, eventually Oklahoma's going to break you down, and Mayfield's going to make plays. So I would give them maybe a 15% chance of pulling off an upset, maybe a 31-3 of keeping it close into the second half. But otherwise, I just think Oklahoma is on a mission. You know, they got the Texas. The only thing would be coming off the Red River game. Is it a bit of a letdown? A bit of a trap game, but I don't see that happening. But again, it wouldn't shock me if it did, but it would be very surprising.
Bama, just 30 seconds. Miami has got another interesting game with Syracuse. They escape against Georgia Tech. Can Cuse keep the momentum going, or Miami continue undefeated in 30 seconds?
I think Miami, I think the Syracuse win, while it was great, while it was certainly unexpected, I think was aided a lot by Kelly Bryant going out. I think if he stays in that game, they win. Nothing against Syracuse. Again, they came to play and they won the game. So not their fault the quarterback got hurt. But I'm not completely on board the Miami machine just yet. But Mark Richt's got him going. And we talked about it when he took the job. Last year would be a transition year. And He's a really good coach who just went stale at the program where he was at. And I think he's going back there, and he is a good quarterback coach. He doesn't have them back to where they were. I don't think they'll ever be where they were, late 80s, early 90s. But I like Miami in this game. Again, if everybody stays healthy and competes like you would, and Syracuse had a great win. I think they're going in the right direction. But I think you're asking an awful lot of a team to pull off a Clemson-Miami parlay.
Yeah, that would be. I love their quarterback. Dungy's a really nice player, and Ishmael receiver's good, Bama. But you're right, asking a ton.
That's some skill positions. There's no question about it. I just don't know if the defense can hold up.
Absolutely. Bama, we will talk to you at this time on Monday, 12:40. We'll recap the weekend. Thank you, Bama.
All right, guys. Look forward to it. Have a great one.
You do the same. Bama Bob. You can follow him on Twitter, at Bama Bob. BAMABOB at Bama Bob on Twitter. Trent and I will come back with the 1 o'clock hour. We'll be all over the map. We will do our last look with Dylan Montz as he makes his way to Lubbock. The head cheese, Dave Sinekin, will be here. Aaron Rodgers' surgery was yesterday. What do they do with him? Is he on the IR? Big spot for the Packers this week, no doubt about that. We'll talk to Paul Allen, the voice of the Vikings, and hopefully Jason Symbol will take us inside the numbers as we'll head out to Las Vegas. It's the Ken Miller Show. The 1 o'clock hour is next on 1700 KBGG.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we don't just show up with a dumpster and trailer in your driveway. We arrive with a business card in hand, ready to take care of your home. Whether it's a simple roof repair, a complete re-roofing project, or a new construction project, Wolf Construction can handle the job. Call Wolf Construction at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. We're a roofing machine.
Are you in the mood for real,
classic, homemade Italian food? Well, I have the spot for you. It's Villaggio. Two locations. The newest location in Urbandale, 2675 100th Street. The original in Norwalk. Classic dishes like cavatelli, spaghetti, lasagna, and vodka rigatoni. Top-notch pizza and awesome sandwiches. A great happy hour and Italian done right. Villaggio.
The Home Depot has ladders. Lots and lots of ladders. And now through the end of November, select ladders come right to your door with free shipping from HomeDepot.com. Select from a 6-foot step ladder, an extension ladder for higher projects, or maybe a 22-foot adjustable multi-position gorilla ladder. Step up to great savings on a new ladder. And now through November, get free shipping when you order on HomeDepot.com. Only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Offer valid on select ladders online only.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-705-7442. That's 800-705-7442. 800-705-7442. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Special Olympics Iowa will host the annual West Des Moines Polar Plunge presented by Lincoln Savings Bank on Sunday, October the 15th at Jordan Creek Town Center in West Des Moines. The Polar Plunge is a signature fundraiser for the Special Olympics and offers a unique opportunity for individuals and organizations to raise money and support Special Olympic Iowa athletes by jumping into the frigid waters. All you have to do to take the plunge is raise $75 and register for the event online at soiowa.org/polar-plunge. You can register individually or as a team. Last year, the West Des Moines Polar Plunge raised over $55,000 for Special Olympics Iowa. All the proceeds go back to the over 14,000 athletes in Iowa and fund the Special Olympics programs that they participate in. The Polar Plunge will start at noon on October the 15th with a post-party to follow. There's still plenty of time to sign up, so head over now to soiowa.org/polar-plunge.
Hey, it's Jimmy B.
And TC for Draft House 50 on Mills Civic Parkway in West Des Moines.
Hey, Draft House 50 has 47 big screen TVs for great viewing of any game.
Football, basketball, baseball, hockey, golf, tennis, you name it.
Hey, the Draft House 50 can get it, even cricket? Draft House 50 has a sensational menu featuring specialty burgers, steak, salads, and so much more.
And on Saturday and Sunday, beginning at 10 a.m., it's brunch, which includes a terrific Bloody Mary bar.
The Draft House 50, a place for sports.